We're back, everybody. Minds Like Minds podcast. Peace, love, and light. I am your host, R.L. Melpica.
I'm the co-host, Chef Definition.
And we have a very special guest with us today. Really excited to get into everything she's about and everything she does on a multitude of levels. But she's a multi-dimensional body balancing energy healer. Tracy Whitted, how are you doing today, Tracy?
I am great. Thanks so much for having me on. It's great.
We're excited. We got a lot to talk about. We get excited, like the energy just kind of lifts up when we have someone like yourself on the show. And I know all the listeners are excited to hear what you're about as well. So.
Oh, thanks. Cool. Hope I don't disappoint.
I doubt that.
Yeah, cool. We appreciate everybody that is watching us on Twitch. We are live right now on Twitch. So if you want to interact, ask Tracy some questions, ask us some questions, or just, you know, be a part of the show, feel free to comment. And also make sure you follow our channel on Twitch as well. And if you're watching the video version of this on replay, we appreciate your subscription to Akasha Flix, which is a streaming service with conscious content. So, well, Tracy, first and foremost, like I like to kind of dive deep into the genesis of who you are. You know, how did you become who you are today? Like, what is your story?
Gosh, you know, I just think I came in this way. I came in weird. I'm just weird, you know?
Yeah.
I've always been different, even though I can blend and I can just be in the 3D world and work in corporate America and raise a family and do all those things. But really my interest is more in the invisible, like in the formless and what's this life all about and how does it work? That's really what I'm kind of interested in. Always been interested in energy. Don't know why. I think I just came in this way. So yeah, I've just always been weird and I guess that's okay.
Yeah. I love how you say that, weird. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, weird is kind of like the societal term that someone would give, you know, someone who goes against the grain and against the normal confounds of, you know, what is considered normal. But at the end of the day, like what you consider weird is your normal, is our normal. You know what I mean? And honestly, anybody who listening and watching this is probably their normal. So.
Right. But you know how it feels to be not an outcast, but you feel like you don't belong. Like you can play the game, but it's like there's a little bit of an observation or a witness point of view or a Saturday Night Live thing going on in your head. Like, is this really going on?
Yes.
You know?
Right. Yes.
So
I hear you.
Never really quite fitting in anywhere. Like you said, blending in or like I like to use the word adapting. Changing and adapting to my surroundings, kind of like some foreign military shit. But I can definitely relate to the whole being weird, growing up weird, not really being able to talk to people about certain things because motherfuckers think you're crazy. Like, for real.
I've been in a couple of those conversations for sure.
Right.
When did you know, because you said you came into this world like this, but like, when did you consciously know that, okay, I'm a little different than the kids at school or my family or my peers or what, you know, whatever the case may be. Like, when did you know, when did that moment happen for you?
14 comes to mind, but I really think it was before that. It's like, okay. I thought you guys knew what was going on and I was the only one that didn't know how to be in this world. It's like things were just weird. I remember even like in church, and we weren't a big church going family, but I remember sitting in the back of the Presbyterian row. I was in the very back. I guess I could have been in Sunday school or something like that. But I remember looking across everybody's heads had this golden hue. And I'm like, what's that? And then I remember they were doing something like communion or doing something. And I remember thinking to myself at 10 years old going, do they really think that just doing this little ritual is going to do something? You know, I mean,
yeah,
I remember that thought consciously and I didn't know about death. So I'm going back in time as I'm, you know, just having the stream of consciousness come through me. It's like when I was seven, my grandmother died. And I'm like, oh, God, we're all going to church. We're all going to get to see each other. And everybody's crying. And all of a sudden, I started crying because that's learned behavior, right? Yes. I didn't know what this was about. So it's always been weird. And I lived in Annandale, Virginia, and we lived in this neighborhood called Camelot.
Okay.
And I lived on King Arthur Boulevard. So there was just all this stuff about King Arthur and all that kind of thing. But we would just hang out and laugh and play. And I knew that I was different because I didn't fit in like they did. Like my girlfriends, we were called the Camelot Gang, and everybody had like a boyfriend or whatever. And I was just like, I just didn't really like anybody. And I don't know. I was just always shy. I was very shy, very conservative, didn't really speak my mind. But now I don't mind doing that.
Right.
But back then, yeah, no, I wanted to fit in. It was really important. It's one of those hierarchy of needs to belong. And I didn't, you know, I wanted to belong. So you kind of like become a chameleon, like you were talking about with the military thing. You kind of like make yourself fit.
Right.
And that's sad to me because I thought I had to work in corporate America to make a living. I didn't think I could like be creative and be who I am. I thought I had to do that. And so I'm like a round peg in a square hole. I mean, I didn't really fit, but I could make it work. And I feel sad about that. It's kind of serious, but I feel sad about that because I feel like I never really honored myself. You know, I didn't think I was enough just to be who I am. Mm-hmm. And so that I would like compromise myself to fit in, which is just what it is. It's just what it is.
No, that makes sense. I mean, I think a lot of that, you know, happens to us that are in this, or we see the world this way, because of everything around us. Like we feel the need to adapt, like Chef said, and be like everybody else, because we feel like there's something different about us. There's something weird about us, so we need to conform instead of the opposite. Which, as we get older and once we realize who we are, then we realize, no, it's the other way around. They need to find themselves. You know, we already knew ourselves. So it almost sounds like you came into this world as an old soul. Like you've been, obviously we've all been here before, but like, you know, you came in with a specific purpose, and that's obviously what you're living right now. So it's a beautiful thing.
I'm kind of a slow growth person, right? I mean, I'm in the older generation now, and it's like, wow, I've been with this body for all these years and I'm just now getting it. It's, you know, I can be cruel to myself, and rather that, I'll just be kind and go, hey, this is where I'm at now.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of life experience from not only this life, but past lives.
For sure.
And I think that's where a lot of these skills that I've created or just naturally have come from, or past lives.
Like when you said you start becoming aware, like in church, I think like I grew up in church, in a traditional household, and I remember going to Sunday school as a child and having a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Then having a lot of questions that weren't getting answered, and a lot of things didn't make sense to me. And as I grew up, it never made sense to me. And I always felt like I was wrong for feeling how I felt, mm-hmm. because I don't feel like everybody else as far as like how traditional things go. Like I could never be, and that's nothing wrong with it, but I could never do like a corporate job, because I'm kind of like I need to be outside, or I need to be able to get up and walk outside, or get up and walk around, and not just be sitting in one place. But I can agree with that. Like really becoming aware, like I must be a weirdo or some shit, or like I can't really put my finger on it, but maybe I'm just crazy and everybody else is normal, or everybody else is crazy and I'm normal.
Yeah.
Right.
That's, you know, that's a culture shock right there. Once you realize the answer to that, that's part of the whole awakening process, and you know, the multiple awakening process.
Right. And then, like, per se, we spoke about being older of age and things, and then getting to a point where it's like, it's okay to accept who you are. It's okay to accept who you are in this vessel, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we've been indoctrinated by a lot of things, you know what I'm saying? We've been manipulated by a lot of things to feel like we're doing too much, or too eccentric, too eclectic, tone it down a little bit. You can't say this, you can't say that. You know what I'm saying? All this bullshit to really kind of suppress and silence who the fuck we really are, you know? And then once we get of age where it's like, it's kind of okay. You know, it's okay to be this way. It's okay to think outside the box, outside the circle, outside the pyramid, outside the rectangle. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So Tracy, like, I'm looking at all the things that you do. So let's talk about that for a second. Like,
right.
I mean, the list is pretty long, as far as all the different, you know, certified spiritual healer, multidimensional body balancer, Reiki master, access consciousness bars and body facilitator, creative wellness instructor, and a practitioner in divine healing hands, theta healing, UN method, healing touch, etc. So yes. That's a lot. And the average individual might not know what all those are. So kind of put yourself on a pedestal real quick and talk about these different things and what you like, what they can do for people.
Well, the thing that's in common with all of those healing modalities is energy work. Mm. And that's what we are. That's our true essence. We are this substance. We're all made of the same substance. It's invisible. Kind of hard to, you know, everybody, I kind of feel, I know that we're all the divine, we're all that oneness, we are all God, creator, source, whatever you want to call it, and each of our expressions comes through our own individual bodies and our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, and it's all the divine, it's all experience. That's why we're here, is just to have all these experiences. And I just had a funny thought. I remember in college, somebody said, you know, you really need to live in a dorm. You really need to have that experience. And I'm like, why? After I had it, he was like, I don't think so. So energy work is energy work. And what we're doing is tapping into the sacredness of who we are. Like, life, I've been depressed in my life. I've been happy in my life, you know, all of these experiences. And when I never know what I'm going to be when I wake up. I don't know what my energy is going to be like, if I'm going to have it, if I'm going to be happy, I'm going to be sad, I'm going to be pensive, I'm going to be all of these things. So who knows what happens in the dream state, by the way. Right. I mean, there's the sleeping dream state, and then there's the waking dream state. So I kind of feel like this is still a dream. And then my mind goes into cray-cray land of like, okay, is this really like the Matrix? Are we really a program and we're really a hologram? I kind of think so. And so it's taken me a long time to try and get to the point of trusting the universe. As we know, we're co-creators and we're going to co-create our life and we're responsible. Well, I didn't create that car accident. Well, on some level you did, and all that kind of stuff. It's just like mind candy and I can get lost there. But all of a sudden I got it. I'm like, oh my God, I am not in charge. I thought I was in charge. So when I get that, when I have a deeper, grander, truthful relationship with the energy all around me, with my experiences, and I trust it, I just let it go and I surrender, which is really hard for me, I realize that I don't really have to worry about anything. I don't have to worry about creating the dollar. And that's my lesson right now, is learning about who is really the provider. You know, is it the employer? Is it the divine? You know, and that's a big lesson for for me to, you know, be, oh, corporate America, I got to have a steady paycheck, or just get boatloads of commission when you do a job or something. You know, it's just, who is really the provider? And that's where I've had to succeed and step back and go, okay, I'm not in charge. I'm not all that in a bag of chips. What am I? You know, it's not who am I? It's like, what am I? Mm-hmm. And so all of this energy work stuff that I've studied, all my friends go, you don't need to take another class, for God's sakes, you got it. You don't need to do that. But the truth is, I really like it. Yeah. I really like taking these classes. And you know, what's really fun is because like you and I, we could all be in the same class together and we all get it. So it's like the energy work classes, I could create community with those people because we were like-minded. We're all interested in the same thing. So I'm rambling, but I know that when I took Reiki back in the early 80s, I just had a natural thing for it. Mm-hmm. They said, if you don't use it, you lose it in the class. And so like 10 years later, I took it again. And it's like, I didn't lose it. I didn't need to take it again, but it was fun.
Right, right. You know? For sure. Just keep
going. And just one thing leads to the other. And as you, as a person like myself, I really like energy work and I'll do anything to heal. I'll read, I'll research. I have all my books, all that. But truth is, I just want to, it sounds like an army thing, but it's like, I want to be the best that I can be. Why am I here? What is the point? Sometimes mm-hmm. it feels pointless and other times it feels like awesome. And when it's pointless, it's like, that's where my mind goes into those little streams of consciousness. And I ask questions like, what are we really doing here? Who's really in charge? Mm-hmm. You know, I just ask a lot of questions and that expands the energy. And then I go into a healing crisis because I've gone into territory consciously that I've never been in before. And I need to sit and rest and be with that and integrate it. And that's not what I've done. I grew up in Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia. And it's like, walk with me, talk with me. Let's just keep going, you know, production and all that. And then when I moved to the West Coast or Colorado, everybody was like, who are you? How are you? Not like back East where it was like, what do you do? How much do you make? Those kinds of experiences I could see the contrast to. And now that I'm in Santa Fe, New Mexico, it's like, is anybody awake? You know, everybody's spiritually awake, but it's like chill, you know, Indian time. It's just wow. So I know I said a lot. So
no, there's a lot to chew on there, but there's two things that stood out to me. Okay. Number one, you talked about, you know, the realization that you're not in charge. Speak to the people and kind of break down, not necessarily who's in charge, but what's in charge.
Well, I'll just call it the divine. I'll just call it source. It's like where we came from. It's the energy, the essence of who we really are, who we truly are. I feel, if we want to call it God in this case, let's just say God is the best project manager in the universe. I mean, in the omniverse, because right. There's so much going on. There's no way I, as a human in my mind, could get my arms around, my head around, my energy body around what's going on. And so it's kind of always coming back to trust. So I feel like the divine is in charge. And if I could just chill out and relax and trust it, then my life would go a lot easier and it'd be a lot smoother. And, you know, it's me and my over responsibility thing, like taking so much responsibility to be healthy and think positive thoughts and do all that kind of stuff. But what I've recently learned through the Gene Keys, I don't know if y'all have studied the Gene Keys. Mm-mm.
No.
OMG, you have to.
The Gene Keys.
GeneKeys.com. And you just put in your birth date and stuff. And all these spheres show up with these aspects of life. And it has three facets to it, like the shadow, the gift, and the city, SIDDHI, which is like the essence, the highest that it can be. Hmm. And what I've learned through Richard Rudd's work is that if you take a pause, if you take a sacred timeout and just not do anything, that's when you can connect to that source. That's when energy comes to you or ideas come to you. inspirations come to you and you're happier, you're more balanced. It's just like when you're a kid playing in the summertime outside, just focused on riding your bike or looking at a ladybug on a blade of grass, you know, that simple stuff. And that's where the creative play, creative juice, creative imagination comes through and all the possibilities show up. But when I'm in control and I'm not allowing the universe to work with me or co-create with me and listen and notice, how can I do that when I'm just charging down the road or, you know, manically checking off things off my list? And so that's the greatest lesson I learned with the Gene Keys material from Richard Rudd. Great, great scholar, great British. I love to hear his voice.
Yeah, yeah. But everybody out there, you got to check out his website, GeneKeys.com. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll love awesome. It. You'll learn a lot. It takes you on a journey. And what happens is when you go on that journey, and it's a lot of information, so it can be kind of mental, but when you do what he says and you just contemplate and you just relax and notice, things out of the ether, the invisible, the formless, come into the form, and you're either inspired, creative, choose to turn right instead of left in your car, just things like that. I mean, just like it's natural, but I get in the way in my mind. It's very strong, very active. But when I chill out, when I chillax, I love it. And that's not often. So that's like a real weird thing I have to do, is I have to work at that. I have to work at relaxing, you know, oh, you're supposed to be, everything's great. Just be.
Right.
That is so stressful for me just to be. I'm like, maybe I should go unload the dishwasher. Maybe I should cook dinner. Maybe I should meditate. I am meditating. Oh, you know, it's just like, yeah, it's cray cray.
Over our analytical mind kind of takes over.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
So taking the pause, that's how you can connect with the universe. With the divine, with the essence.
Sure, for sure. And the other thing that stood out to me was when you were talking about, you know, sometimes your mind will work against you and have you thinking that this life is pointless and what is the point and all that. That's an interesting concept, because I think a lot of people deal with that part of the analytical mind and the ego and the ego as well. But in my opinion, this is my opinion, is that because we've been conditioned so heavy on this linear world. Everything has to have a beginning and an end. Everything has to play out in a certain way. Like, what is my life's purpose going to be? If I don't attain my goals, then what was I here for? All, you know, this basic linear type of philosophy, when it's not, you know, life isn't linear. It's cyclical. It's about the moment. It's about what are you doing in this moment right now, because the energy of today is going to be different than the energy of tomorrow. And it's constantly changing and transmuting and whatnot. So like when we start going down that road of looking too far ahead and, you know, maybe we didn't accomplish this or accomplish that, you know, step back for a second, because all that does is add stress and worry over things that you can't control until they actually happen. And that's, you know, part of, I see, you know, Darko and Joanna in the chat here said, being present. Yes. Being present. That's what it is. You know, stay in the moment and accomplish what you want to accomplish in the moment. And once you feel that analytical mind coming in, you know, do whatever you can to kind of push that out or block it or whatever the case may be.
You bring up a good point, though, about resistance. It's like, oh, I don't really like this feeling. I don't really like this space of being of how I am right now. So we resist it. And, you know, that whole saying about what we resist persists. That's the shadow work. That's when you're in that lower frequency for some reason. And contrast helps us learn, you know, and what I have taken into practice for myself is like, oh my God, I feel like I suck today. And so I'm just going to be really sucky.
Yeah.
And then that's when I really don't like to be around people, because I don't want them to see me less than perfect or whatever, you know, like having a real human feeling.
Right.
But what's so beautiful is when you do have those other weird friends that you can reach out to and connect with, and they go, oh my God, me too. I feel like shit today. Or yeah, there's a big solar flare. So we're all being, you know, pulsed right. with all this light.
Yep.
So there's things, there's other variables that can explain it. But at the same time, if we don't resist it, if we really embrace it and get into it, you almost have to go through it before it releases. And I always know that everything is impermanent. So this will not last forever. It's mm-hmm. not true forever. And the other thing I wanted to say about that with the shadow feelings of, so what I'll call them, is that sometimes those energies are not even yours.
Oh yeah.
But you're experiencing oh. them in mm-hmm. your body. So you think it's your thoughts. You think it's your emotions. You think it's your soul.
Yes.
And it might not be.
That's why it's so important to protect your energy, because people can't attach to your energy.
Yeah. And
not just people, entities, all kinds of shit can attach to your energy.
Oh, for sure. Oh my God. Yes. Yes. And that's what I was kind of talking about when I said, when I expand my consciousness and I get really far out, like go really far out, and it's really going in, but it's just like how we talk, I guess. But when you go into territories energetically, whether it's yours or your ancestors or your friends or a client that you're working with, things can come up and they can attach to you. So why would they attach? Mm-hmm. They would attach because you're probably vibrating at that same level. And it just, I always imagine it like we have graph paper, like a matrix around us that's invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's like a charge. And it's just like a glob of energy that gets stuck in one of those little intersecting lines, and it just sticks. And then it gets stuck. And then it gets stuck as if that past experience or whatever is still happening in the present. So what's kind of neat and cool is that in our background operating system, we want to be present. Like she said, you know, you want to be present. I think it was a woman. I'm sorry. I don't know. That we try and be present, but we might not be able to be present because there's things in our energy field that we don't even know is there. And when you, and they're kind of like skewing our perception of this present moment.
Mm.
So the clearer that we can be, it's like spiritual hygiene. We take a shower, we brush our teeth, we wash our hair. Do we clear our energy field? You know, yes. It's like, that's what we could do. And that's what I would like to teach people to do is just use the light, use your power of consciousness to connect with 100% pure divine light. Now, I never used to do that. I never used to say that, I intended it, but it didn't really happen. And the first time I had an energy clearing, her name is Vicky Cashman up in Boulder. She called in my guides of 100% pure divine light. And then she waited for a really long time. And I'm like, what's going on? She goes, oh, there's a changing of the guard. I'm like, really? I thought I was working with Saint Germain and yada, 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 you know?
Right.
And I found out that I think it's very important with the spoken word and our thoughts is that we call in 100% pure divine light. That is a huge tool that I learned that really helps. And I worked in the prison system for like 3 years and I didn't have to go into the prisons very often in New Mexico. But when I did, boy, you could just feel the darkness off of some of the individuals. Wow. And one time I came home and my dog was acting really weird. Like he was like growling at me and stuff. And I'm like, what's your problem? Go ahead. You go in there into the bathroom and you hide behind that toilet. And I close the door really loud. And I have a picture of the painting Presence and it fell onto the ground. And I'm like, oh, I brought home a hitchhiker. Oh, I brought home a presence. So that's how the universe can work with you if you pay attention. And then I used the light and I cleared it, but it was heavy. It was scary. It was weird.
Wow.
It caught me off guard.
Wow.
So sometimes the energy isn't ours and you just return to sender with consciousness.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like for me, I clear my energy every morning in the shower. Like that's kind of my daily ritual. Just to make sure I don't have anyone attached, ground myself, make sure my field is in a good place, or I should say clear.
Yeah.
But it's just imperative. Like, 'cause that's the one thing, like people wonder, you know, why do these things keep happening to me? Or why am I stuck in this same spot, this same rut? And sometimes, like you said, it's not even your energy. First of all, right. Most people don't realize how important it is to clear their energy and understand how important energy is in everything we do, because everything starts with energy. But, you know, to have a healing with yourself or another energy healer and kind of learn the different aspects of it, the different layers of it, because there's so many, right? And I definitely want to get to kind of how you do it, because I know every energy healer is different, you know, because I want to hear like kind of how you do it. But I just implore everybody out there to, if you've never had an energy clearing or energy healing, to do it, you know, do a consultation, just kind of find out what it's about, because you'll be very surprised on how it can affect you. Real quick, my wife just started getting energy clearings, I want to say about 2 years ago, and like had it completely changed her life, like completely changed her life. So I'm just a massive advocate of energy healing. So everybody out there, at least get a consultation is all I say. Chef, you had a couple questions, man. I want to give you the floor, man, so you can ask the questions.
Well, my first question is, what is a certified spiritual healer, right? And then my second question is, what do you have to do to become that?
Well, for me, I was in Denver, and I was at a workshop called Dreamwalker. And it was a channeled, it was in February. It was really cold. We were in a hotel in Denver. And Jeffrey Hoppe is a channel. And he channeled an entity called Tobias. Well, Tobias has since gone into a human body. So he doesn't channel Tobias anymore. And now he channels Adamus Saint Germain and kicks your butt. But he and his wife put on this seminar for all of us in this boardroom. And afterwards, she's deceased now, unfortunately. Her name is Norma Delaney, amazing channel. And she anointed all of us into, it's called She's, S-H-E-S, and it's in the Northwest where she learned it. And she was a certified spiritual healer. And she put us all through this ceremony, whoever wanted to do it. And, you know, you get anointed with the frankincense oil, and then you become that basically through this Dreamwalker workshop, which was a weekend seminar about assisting the people in hospice care or are dying. They can hire you to dreamwalk their soul across to help them. So that's what the workshop was. And that's when I was anointed the certified spiritual healer. The other option was certified earth steward, people that really work with the grids and do all that kind of stuff with the earth, which I love too, but I was more in alignment with the certified spiritual healer. So I have my diploma and all that, my certificate, but it's just more of an anointment, an acknowledgement. And maybe it was just for my own soul's, you know, attagirl.
Hey, leveling up, continue to level right? up, right?
You know, I don't put a lot of credence in it, and I don't deny it. And then because I had that experience and I had that certificate, and what I'm getting right now is like people feel more comfortable with someone that's a certified, you know, if they need it certified.
Yeah.
I personally just go with the feeling and whoever feels good, you know, I don't care what you've learned and all that kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah.
But that's what it was for me with the certified spiritual healer, was through the She's organization. And I don't even know if they're around anymore, but it allowed me to be a minister. And I you know, administered some weddings. I administered my own mother's funeral, you know, which was like, what the heck did I sign up for that for? Because, you know, writing up the eulogy or whatever, you know, to say to people, it's like, it was very stressful, but it was beautiful. And I think I did a fine job.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. And the Divine Healing Hands is kind of interesting because Dr. Master Shaw, do you guys know him? S-H-A, Dr. Shaw. Up in Toronto. He's a massive project manager of the divine, and he wrote many, many books, and it was an energy work where you do divine healing hands. You call in the energy, it comes through you, and you heal people with that energy and the chants and things like that. So that was kind of fun.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. Another feather in the cap that I pull from every once in a while. You know, that's what I feel like. I feel like I'm like a highly trained surgical nurse. So someone's on the table, spirit will tell me what they need. And I have this toolbox that I can energetically pull from. Whenever I work with someone, I got this really cool crystal from up in Denver. I don't know if y'all can see it, but it's basically a crystal with magnets on either side of it. And when you hold it over the hand chakras, it should be still like mine is, which is yay. That's a good thing. And I would work with this person at Medtronic, which is like engineers and surgical devices and all the seriousness that I worked with up in Boulder. Mm-hmm. And this woman that was really, really stressed out, totally not like us, but yet I can still relate. And I pulled her into a conference room because I knew she was really stressed. And I did this for her and it was like, wall, you know, it was just like, it was clearing her field. And then we did her other one, her other hand, and it cleared her field. And then I have another pendulum that I use and I hold it over the chakra system. So I just hold it over the root chakra. And for me, when it goes in a circle, it means it's open. If it goes back and forth or forward and backwards, I know it's closed. So I did that with her. And you can use it. You don't have to use a crystal, but I have a St. John's crystal. I mean, what's his name? John of God. This is a crystal from the Brazil, John of God.
Nice.
So you can like help yourself. I'm telling this to everybody who's listening is you don't have to, you know, do the biofeedback and see if your chakras are open or closed. But then I use healing touch, which is what nurses use. It's kind of like working in the aura. Mm-hmm. And your chakras should be rotating clockwise and to the right, right? You know, they should be doing that, but you can connect your chakras. So if I did my heart chakra to my throat, I would be, my right hand is sending the energy up and my left hand is over my throat chakra. And when I feel energy in my left hand, I know they're connected. And so you do that for all of the chakra system. And then I retest it with the pendulum, whether we're on Zoom or in person, to make sure that it's open so that the energy is flowing and they can receive. So you can do it with your hands or you can do it with the crystal. And the crystal would be like, go into the root chakra counterclockwise 3 times, you know, swing a chicken over your head, clear it. Then you can just, you know, have it go in the right direction. So there's so many things we can do in our imagination. And that's the thing is we are so powerful and we don't even remember that just through our voice, just through our intention, just through our nutrition, through our water intake, through our movement of our body. I mean, we just take care of ourselves. If we think happy thoughts, I mean, it's like the quantum field. Mm. I mean, we are creating by our thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And that's the thing about clarity is being so clear that you know it's your energy and it's your thoughts.
Yes.
You know, and if it's, I don't even watch the news anymore. I mean, I worked for a newspaper in Longmont, Colorado, and it's like,
no, if it bleeds, yeah.
I don't even do that anymore. That's,
me either. I don't either.
Yeah. And it's crazy because, like, you know, once again, we're kind of conditioned to, you know, to look at life in a certain way, like news is a part of life and, you know, find, you know, listen, you know, watching murder, rape and molestation and war, like that is just a part of life.
But not.
Right. But then people don't realize that, you know, what you consume becomes you. It's just like what you eat becomes you, what you consume energetically becomes you. So that's like, you know, I talked about AkashiFlex at the beginning of this. That's the streaming service that I built. That's the whole premise of it. It's like, I wanted to build a streaming service that people could watch high vibrational stuff, things that make you feel good. You can learn, you know, you can, you know, feel, you know, not have to worry about capturing any type of negative energy when you watch it. Cause when we go on Netflix and Hulu and HBO Max and whatever the case may be, or YouTube or whatever, like we're constantly, like we're fiending or not were, but you know, society is fiending for drama. They're fiending for this. I don't get it. Like, In fact, my 13-year-old daughter, she's obsessed with these freaky, scary movies, you know, and I understand kids growing up, they get attached to that type of thing. But like yeah. energetically, you know, that's luckily she does do clearings and stuff. So we yeah. get rid of that stuff. But still, like, that impacts you, that changes you. And the more people understand that, maybe the more they'll make more conscious choices moving forward.
Well, it's kind of like drama. Drama, it kind of like gets your heart pumping. It kind of makes you feel alive, you know? And so people like drama for that reason. And I think that might be part of the stimulation that mm-hmm. we're used to.
Yes.
But you don't really. And then it's even like drugs, getting high, and all of that is fine in the day. But now it's like I can go further out and deeper in and have much higher frequency experiences on the inner that is like astounding compared to when I was a kid getting high.
Yeah.
You know,
no, I hear you.
And things are fun and joyful and vibrational. And then it's like, when I have this ability or I call it an ability. It's like when someone trusts me and we have a session, that is so sacred. Because I can go into the nitty gritty and let's work on your soul body and your nervous system and your chakra system. And it's upside down. Let's flip it and let's use the light and clean it and heal it and all of this kind of stuff. I'm really not doing it. I'm just the witness. I'm like the observer and the mediator and maybe the facilitator. Maybe it is my consciousness that can kind of help orchestrate this operating room for someone to receive a clearing. Like a really deep clearing on the DNA level or whatever. Mm-hmm. What's been happening now with transmosis, which was a word that came to me when I was doing Reiki on somebody, and I wrote it down and nobody can tell me what it means. And so I looked it up, like transmosis doesn't exist, but it's some cyber company. And I'm like, oh, they got the URL before me. Oh, well, but right. Transmosis, like trans is like transformation, transmutation, you know, it's like crosses over something. Right. And then mosis is kind of like osmosis, like a higher concentration to a lesser. And it goes through that membrane. Well, I'm going to read it because I don't want to mess it up.
Yeah,
this is what Spirit told me.
Yeah.
Transmosis is an unconscious transfer and assimilation of higher energies to raise the recipient's energy to equal the source energy. So that's not how I talk. So I knew it was like channeled, or, you know, I got that information from source, and that's what's been happening. I can go into the nitty gritty. I created a map. I'll just show it, flash it real quick.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
It's like, somebody tells me what they want to work on physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And I know we're all one thing, but sometimes things show up physically,
for sure,
mentally, for sure, whatever. And then I have a map of all the things that it could possibly be and where things could be, the unconscious part. Mm-hmm. And I use applied kinesiology. You know what that is, right? Muscle testing. Mm-hmm. You ask mm-hmm. yourself the truth and the false, and you can tell the difference. So we talk about that in our session. And we kind of, like, I feel, throw all that stuff up into the energetic soup, and then we consecrate the session, and then the divine, or the guides of 100% pure divine light on the client's part and my part might take us in a completely different direction. We might go into some nitty gritty stuff with the light, but then all of a sudden I'm off book. It's like, wow, we're seeing this, we're saying that. And it's like this story, this soul journey that happens where something happens with the images that I am seeing with my eyes closed, and I hear, I guess I'm clairaudient, but I share what I hear and I see, and somehow that's alchemy for the individual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Hell fucking yeah.
I don't know what I am, but I do know I'm a conduit and a mediator to assist people to clear out stuff. And, you know, you got to meet someone where they're at. And I was working with a friend that I don't really know very well, but she just came last week. And when I started, like you said, your daughter, you in the shower, you connect to the earth, mm-hmm. connect to source, and, you know, you kind of return to neutral in your heart and you expand, and that's who you really are, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. When I started taking her to expand, she almost started having a heart attack. So I had to like just stop and just like comfort and just acknowledge and ask, can I please be the exact right divine potency for this person? So that I don't, it's like homeopathy. You want to meet them vibrationally. You don't want to give a remedy that's too high. It's not going to work.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Take them through the process. I mean, it's just like anything. I mean, in the physical, just the physical 3D world, if you start a new diet, if you just go cold turkey, most of the time it's too much for somebody. They're going to stop, but you ease into it. You change one meal a day. You know what I'm saying? You start incrementally taking those steps and it becomes a process. And then, you know, overall, you'll see a much higher success rate. And I think that's the same thing in energy healing as well.
It's a lifestyle change.
So what you brought up, you are the minister at your mother's funeral. Like from a family perspective, what do they think about what you do?
Wow. My mom and dad are deceased, so I don't know what they think, but I have a sense that they would be looking on very happy and proud and all that. My sister used to
They know
about
the truth
it.
Now, so.
Yeah. Exactly. She, I think, appreciates it. And I've never actually worked on my sister, Leslie. I would love to sometime. I think she used to kid around. I don't think she means this anymore, but she used to kid around and call me Boulder Granola. Because I, you know, I'm into all this stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll say in the waking life, my mom, she actually said to me one time, standing in her kitchen, she said, Tracy, why are you into all this shit? I was like, wow. So talk about feeling weird, you know, and knowing it or thinking I am, but I'm not. So I think my family, my cousin Martha, she said to me one time, this is back when I was in my 20s and I took a course called Creative Wellness, the Creative Wellness Program. Fabulous. There's a book called Creative Wellness. I think it's out of print by Michelle Lusson, Doctor of Divinity, and it's holistic stress management. And so you use applied kinesiology and how your personality affects your health. And so, you know, we have seven chakras. And there's seven gods and seven goddesses as archetypes. And so you muscle test someone's body and you find out what their primary glandular weakness is, whether it's a thyroid type, a pancreas type, or an adrenal type. And then you test two other places to find out what their archetype is. So I was goddess of the rainbow, Iris, nice. Messenger of the gods, which kind of makes sense, the natural intuitive, because I didn't even know I was intuitive. But then I found out later that I am. So my friend Martha said, Tracy, you were right. What do you mean I was right? And she said, you had it right, like eating right, doing the nutrition, the colors, and you know, all of that work, which is now what she does. She's a health coach and helps people lose weight and eat right. And so that was rewarding for her to say that to me.
That's hey, awesome. Yeah,
you knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's journey has dealt with different things. That's why I like to ask that question, because, you know, society, conditioning, indoctrination, all those different things, you know, sometimes shines a different kind of light on what we do, on the light work that we do. Look, we could talk about this for hours. I know that's a song, but I'm not trying to sing here, but... We appreciate you coming on, and we definitely would love to have you come on again and have some dive even deeper into all of this. But I want to give you the opportunity to kind of shout out number one, all your social media handles, where they can contact you and find you, and also, you know, what you're offering, what type of services and stuff like that as well.
Right now I'm Tracy Whittett, TraceyWhittett.com. And that's where I try to describe what transmosis is. And that's where you can book a one-on-one session. I am a co-author of a book called, I'll just do that real quick, The Magi Within, Unlocking the Gifts of the Inner Self.
Nice.
And if you go to the website, TraceyWhittett.com, there's a book page and you can find out more about the authors and you can order it on Amazon, or you can download the PDF for free, because it's a book about teaching people how to connect to their intuition. so that they are empowered. My whole thing is to empower people. I want to save the world, but I can't do it by myself.
Right.
And I want people to have these tools so they can do that. So it's really fun. It's a workbook, A to Z. A is awareness, Z is 0 point, E is energy. And you can just kind of like open the book and be with that chapter all day long and see how you are with kindness, you know, and things like that. So it's to teach people to go within.
Nice.
So I'm at TracyWidditt.com. I have a Facebook personal page, you know, Facebook.TracyWidditt. Mm-hmm. And then I have Transmosis Healing, like Facebook Transmosis Healing. And that I write quatrains. I hear these sentences, four lines, and they're kind of like divine musings. So they're inspirational, and I post them on the Tracy Widditt blog page, but then they go on to the Facebook Transmosis Healing page. And then, you know, I think I have Twitter and Instagram and all of that, but it's always my name, Tracy Widditt. So that's how you would find me.
Perfect.
Get with it, Tracy Widditt.
Get with it. Yeah, for sure. Awesome. So everybody out there, we'll put a link to your website as well in the description, so you, everybody can go to the link. Real quick, just before we go, like if someone were to book a session with you, kind of give them an idea of how it would go, like kind of what's your process, you know, so they can kind of know beforehand.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
TracyWidditt.com, you know, book a session, whatever, schedule a session. And then we set up a Zoom call and I record it. And some really good information comes through my one voice of our session that you might want to listen to later that actually goes deeper sometimes for people when they listen to it again. You would fill out a form. Tell me what you want to work on physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and anything else. Then I do my map. Then we have the session time. I record it on Zoom, or you come to Santa Fe in person and we discuss everything. Then we start the session. So the session goes like this. I call in your guides of 100% pure divine light. And I ask for your highest and greatest good to be done for yourself and for all concerned. Then I call in my guides of 100% pure divine light, and I ask that I be a pure divine vessel of truth, wisdom, and healing love for your highest and greatest good, for yourself and for all concerned. And then I ask us and invite us both to place our egos and personalities outside of the consecrated space so that we can both be as close as possible to pure divine consciousness. I become the surrogate. And I will check your hand chakras and I will check your chakra system, and then we'll clear all of that. And sometimes that can go on for a while. So since I'm a multidimensional body balancer, I can also multidimensionally work at the same time. So while your hand is clearing, you know, the field, I will call in your mother's side of the family 79 generations back, and we start using the light and we use holograms and we clear whatever I'm guided to do. And it usually lasts about an hour, could be an hour and 15. And then we close the session. We thank the light tools. We thank the guides. And I thank the person. And then I send the audio recording. And hopefully you want to send me a review and say it was awesome. Changed your life. You never come back.
Of course.
It was perfect. Or you can come back one. It's not like something you would do every week. You know, it's definitely not therapy. It's definitely sacred and holographic, and it's a soul journey, and it raises your frequency and your vibration and your awareness, so you're empowered.
Who doesn't want that? That's all I'm saying. I mean,
right on.
You know what I'm saying? Feel empowered, raise your frequency all day, all day. Well, this has been extremely informative. I really love speaking to you and learning more about your story and everything. I know everybody out there did as well. Thanks to everybody that is watching on Twitch. We appreciate it. Deshaun, give us some last words, man.
I love your energy. It's extremely phenomenal.
Aww.
Our session here, our podcast session, it really kind of flew by extremely fast. And I was trying to catch a lot of things. I was taking some notes. First and foremost, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to break down transmosis.
Yes.
And all of the extremely interesting things that you do. You are truly like a ball of light energy. Aww. You know, you're very radiant. So I could dig that. And, you know, thank you. Thank you for dropping knowledge.
Thank you. I need to get some teachings out there so everybody can do this for themselves. So that's what I'm working on. That really touched my heart, both of you. I love talking to you guys. It's beautiful.
Keep
my
doing
soul
you.
Brothers.
Yeah, for sure. Keep doing you. Keep spreading that light because we need it. You know, the collective consciousness of this world right now, we need it. We're in spiritual warfare right now. We need it. We need all of us to come together. Like you said, we're all one. When it comes down to it, we are all God, in my opinion. You know, we are all, you know, we're all connected. So everything.
The light always prevails. The light always prevails. That's level 10. 9 to 1 could be the dark, the names of all of those things. Nope. They never reach level 10. The light always prevails. So the more that we hold the light, be the light, clear the light, are the light, love each other. Yeah, it's all good. And we can let the drama fade out because there's nothing's going to feed it anymore as mm-hmm. we are who we are. You know, just 100%. Shine the light.
100%.
Yeah.
And we will stop it there. Everybody be good. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode. If you're listening to the audio version and you want to see the video version, it is available on Akasha Flicks exclusively. So it's $9.99 a month or $99.99 for a full year. That gives you 2 months free to get this podcast as well as 8 other conscious content creators with over 250 videos and an ever-growing library of conscious conversation. So you guys be good. We are out of here, y'all. Peace.